Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, damas y caballeros, leave it in. Another edition of Leave It in the Ring. I'm your host, David Duenas, and my co-host, Gabriel Montoya. Well, it's Cinco de Mayo. I don't know about you guys, but I've been celebrating it since 8 o'clock in the morning. Why? Because it's my birthday and stuff. I want to thank Dave Chan and everybody else, Gabriel, and who else works with the Leave It in the Ring here. Because really, honestly, I didn't want to do a show today because the fact is, it is my birthday, and I wanted to go out and celebrate it like anybody else that wanted to celebrate their birthday. But we got a lot of boxing to talk about, so we're here doing our thing. Hopefully, Gabriel Montoya calls back into the show so we can talk some boxing here. But right now, we're going to open up the phone lines. We have no guest schedule. We have nothing but the listeners that want to call in and talk some Shane Mosley versus Manny Pacquiao. That's exactly what we want to do today. So if you want to call right now, 347-215-7598. Again, 347-215-7598. Go right ahead. We'll patch you right in. David Chen, the producer of the show, will ask you what you want to talk about, and then we'll patch you in and leave in a ring, and then we will go about and talk about whatever fight you want to talk about. But right now, we're going to talk about Sugar Shane Mosley versus Manny Pacquiao. Now, listen, a lot of folks, including myself, were not really, really, really big into this fight. It's happening Saturday night over there at the MGM. I know a lot of folks are going out there to go check it out. And there's a lot of people that are talking about, you know what, I'm not really going to go see the fight. I've had a few people email me, say, look, I'm not going out to the fight, but I'm going to go out there just because it's a Cinco de Mayo weekend, and I may be able to catch it on a closed caption. But, you know, I mean, a lot of times you're thinking, like, you know what, you're going to catch the fight. You got to catch the fight because regardless if you are not too big in the fight, like I'm not too big on what's going to happen between Manny Pacquiao and Sugar Shane Mosley, but I'm a boxing head. I'm going to watch it. You know what I mean? There's no way I'm going to sit here and lie to you and deny the fact that I'm going to tune in and pay $60. I'm going to end up paying for it because I'm just that big of a fool regardless, because I'm always looking for that upset and I want to be part of that history. I was one of those guys when, you know, when Frankie Randall was announced as the opponent of Julio Cesar Chavez, I was one of those guys that said, well, so what? I went out, decided to go hang out with the buddies and do what I needed to do with the friends, and then end up getting a call later, or a page, actually, because that's when we had pages and stuff, letting me know that Julio got dropped for the very first time and lost, you know what I mean, convincingly against an opponent, even though I thought that Pernell Whitaker had beat Julio Cesar Chavez convincingly. The whole world did not agree with me or anybody else that were really watching the fight. Just because the fact that a lot of folks that, you know, what they end up doing is watching the person because they either look like them or the nationality is a little bit more heavier than the right decision. You know what I mean? So not a true boxing head. But you can't knock those people down because the fact is they're the ones that carry our sport. I believe I got my co-host Gabriel Montoya on the line. What's up, brother?
Hey, man. How you doing? Happy birthday, Dave.
Hey, brother. Thank you, man. I'm doing good and stuff. Like I said, having a good time. Been celebrating my birthday since early in the morning. I've been celebrating since yesterday. You know what I mean?
I was kind of like a birthday week. You know, it's just kind of doesn't really end. It just kind of begins before my birthday and keeps going well after my birthday. You know, if that whole, like, it's like a 7-day celebration. You know, we roast pigs, we drink a lot. You know, there's dancing elephants and women. It's awesome. But you know, this fight, to me, it was funny. I wrote an article it came out Tuesday, right? And I had guys, this one guy in particular, who was a former boxing writer, I guess, internet writer, get upset with me. He was like, where's the outrage? Why aren't you more angry about this fight? I'm like, you know, well, one, you know, you used to be a boxing writer, go write the boxing article you want to read. You know, don't tell me how to rewrite my article. But two, I'm not outraged by this fight. I mean, I think there's a belt on the line. I don't really care because,
right.
you know, it doesn't really matter. It's on pay-per-view, so if you don't like it, don't buy it. It might be entertaining. But really, overall, I'm kind of indifferent to the fight. I think the article that I wrote kind of reflected my mood regarding the fight. I'm indifferent. I'm not really, like, upset about it. It's promotion, you know. Bob took a good name that they didn't want to fight when he was at his best or, you know, at kind of a peak after he beat Margarito. And, you know, Manny Pacquiao actually did want the fight then. There's kind of a misnomer that he didn't want to fight Margarito when he was at his best or didn't want to fight Mosley when he was at his best. He actually asked for both those fights. But,
right.
you know, the company around him is smarter than the fighter on some level, or they know what he can do and what he can't. And they waited for the, you know, quote-unquote right time for him to face those guys. And, you know, to me, it's like they're in a league of their own, you know, those guys. And that's kind of an ironic way of saying it. It's you know, meaning they're a class above, but they're also kind of doing their own thing, you know. And if you like it, cool. But, you know, the market will show what this, you know, what it will bear. And if it doesn't sell well, then maybe they'll go back
market,
to a different drawing board.
The market is going to bear exactly what's going to show, which is a huge hug. Regardless if you're going to watch it, if you're a boxing head, you don't agree what's going to happen between Manny Pacquiao versus Sugar Shane Mosley, well, it's not going to matter to you're not going to tune in. The market is going to have a huggy bear to it. Sold out of MGM, a lot of people are going to tune in and watch this fight. Now, whether or not is it intriguing, you know what? In so many ways, it is. But don't – look. When I'm telling you the truth, am I into this fight? No, I'm not. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to sit here and say, hey, I've convinced myself this is going to be a great fight. But am I going to tune in to see maybe it's going to be a good fight? Well, yeah, because the fact is that Sugar Shane, his career has always been so up and down is that you can't really count the guy out. You know what I mean? And you got to look at styles make fights. Now, do I buy into the fact that Manny Pacquiao is the perfect style for Sugar Shane Mosley because he comes in, you know, straightforward? Not really, because like I was telling Gable last night, when's the last time we've seen Manny Pacquiao just come straightforward? It doesn't happen, you know what I mean? He's a guy that uses angles. He boxes. The last time that he was coming straightforward is when he was coming at a smaller guy, you know, or a guy that's equal to him. He's been more of an angle boxing type of fellow ever since him and Freddie Roach have decided to move up in weight. So to sit here and say, oh, this is the perfect opponent for Sugar Shane Mosley, no. And I've had a lot of emails go, Dave, but look what he did to, you know, Floyd Mayweather. But you got to look at styles make fights again. Floyd is the kind of guy that sits back and waits and allows you to make mistakes. Manny is not. Manny does not give you that window. Manny likes to make sure that he's on top of you from the beginning. Now, way back when Manny is at 126, even 130, excuse me, he was the kind of guy that you would say he would throw like 2-3 rounds away. He really only throws like one round away. And then he jumps all over you and stuff, you know what I mean? He really doesn't waste the time. He boxes. He's a guy that really doesn't need to have a kickstart. He's just he has that high energy in him when he just wants to start going and stuff. He's an energizer bunny, except for the first round, you know? So this is the whole question here. And I think a lot of folks are thinking this. Does Sugar Shane Mosley have a chance of doing the upset or the unthinkable? Yes, he does. In my opinion, I don't know what Gabriel Montoya is going to say about it, but in my opinion, he does have that 50% of chance of upsetting Manny Pacquiao. For one, he has that freak strength. A lot of folks are going to look at him and go, man, I mean, if you never met him personally, Gabriel, you met him personally, you look at him and you go like, this is a small-ass motherfucker, you know what I mean? You know, this guy, how the hell you're making 154? He's got that freak strength. He's that little dude in the neighborhood that rides around on the bike or a skateboard, and you look at him, he's been a midget his whole life, but he's got like this man strength, and you wonder about him like, damn, where is this guy? How is this guy so powerful? That's Sugar Shane Mosley for you. Very strong athletic person. He's an athlete. His dad said that for many years. Himself have said that for many years. He's an athletic person. What he's got to do, though, with another athletic person, like, you know, Manny Pacquiao, the guy is extremely athletic, you know what I mean? He's got, you know, he's got the, what, I would say the most recorded biggest leg. Who's measured his thighs, for crying out loud? Let's measure his thighs to find out. Does he have the biggest thighs in boxing? The guy has tremendous thighs, you know what I mean? He should have been in soccer. But going back, what you can say, Mosey, here is that what does he have to do? Well, timing. Have him and Nassim Richards, his trainer, have they worked on timing? You know, Shane's timing has just been terrible. You know, ever since we've seen him stepping in the ring with one of the pound-for-pound's best fighters in the world, you know, Floyd Mayweather, his timing has been off. It just has not looked the same. It hasn't looked good. And with Manny, your timing is going to have to be very exceptional. I don't know, Gabe, am I wrong about this? His timing, to me, just got to be on par. It can't have a hiccup or a skip. It can't have a trip. It cannot have a dance. It's just got to be right there and ready to go.
Yeah, I just think, you know, I don't give him a 50% chance. I give him maybe 2%, maybe 5%. You know,
that's not even giving him a round.
I'm giving him
three or four rounds of trying to pull off.
Well, think about it. I mean, he had rounds against Floyd because Floyd was, you know, everybody does well against Floyd or seemingly well early because he's sitting back, he's waiting, he's watching, he's
right.
Assessing. And then after that, he takes everything away from you. And, you know, you can't even really compare the two fights. You know, only
no.
You can kind of look at Mosley, but, you know, they're two completely different fighters. You know, the idea that Shane, because he's aggressive, and Manny, because he's aggressive, will make a good fight, to me, is just kind of a marketing ploy. And really, everybody's kind of bought that hook, line, and sinker. But, you know, that's mentalities. That's not really approaches. And if you look at Manny's early fights, I've been watching a lot of tape of him this last couple weeks. And you look at the early fights when he wasn't a two-handed fighter, when he was just really all about that left hand. He would stand right in front of you, and he would just hammer the same punch home, get it done. A lot of his knockouts or knockdowns were off of that straight left, and he was right in front of you, and you know, a little bit off to the side, but not too much, just, you know, one step outside to land it, which is basic boxing. You look at a lot of his knockdowns now when he fights, you know, Cotto, when he was damaging Margarito, particularly Hatton, he's way off to the side. He'll duck
right.
Under, he'll slip all the way out, he'll catch you with an uppercut, almost like, you know, right off to the side of you. He catches you with that shot, and he knows now how to set it up, the shot that you don't see. He's become a much more elusive boxer. You see him come out in the first few rounds. He's got the gloves up, but he's moving his head. He's dipping his upper body. He's using his legs to move himself around, you know, to lower his upper body, but also to kind of glide around the ring. He's a much different guy. They've become much more, still same aggression, a lot of the same punches. They've added some, and the same mentality. But the vehicle to move that arsenal around has changed. And that's really been the big difference in Manny Pacquiao. With Floyd, or rather with Shane, you know, he's become, like you're saying, the timing is bad. I think it's the reflexes that are bad. It's, you know, I hate to use the term shot fighter, but this is kind of what Shane has become, a guy that can see the openings, can't do anything about them. He kind of waits around. He's trying to add feints to his game. And they're not very good feints. They're kind of wide and very obvious. You know, feints are all about, you know, timing. You know, I'll throw a jab, I'll feint in like I'm going to throw that same thing, and then I'll shoot with something else. And his feints are just feint, kind of shake, kind of look at you. They don't
right.
really. He doesn't really set them up very well. And to me, Shane is a guy that, you know, when he was coming up, he looked like a monster. But a lot of what he did was athleticism and youth, his ability to be stronger than everybody else because he was a really big lightweight. And
right.
He was able to overwhelm you with all of that, with his speed, with his power, with his strength.
Well,
but
he had 32
older,
wins and 32 knockouts at a lightweight and stuff, you know. But
right.
I don't know, Gabe, you know, I mean, you know, I agree. But then at the same time, I disagree because when he did move up, he did use what he was gifted with, which is speed, his strength and his combinations. That's kind of eluded more and more. He stayed at a bigger weight. You know what I mean? He's become more reliable on his big punch. I mean, look, the thing is this, man. I mean, you got to sit back and you got to say that, to me personally, he's a big puncher in this fight. Is he a one-punch knockout artist? Hey, you know what? What I've seen him pull himself out of fights, I have to kind of lean with him in saying that he can do what a lot of folks, Margarito lacked. You know, Margarito was a guy that didn't have a one-punch knockout power, didn't have the speed. Shane Mosley has that, you know what I mean, where he can do anything. But I think he needs three or four rounds. After three or four rounds, he's pretty much cooked and served, you know what I mean?
I just don't see how he really lasts throughout this thing. You know, to me, you know, my pick.
I think that's what makes it interesting about this fight. You know what I mean?
I just don't know. To me, that those are the questions. What does Shane really have left? You know, and will Manny Pacquiao be able to stop him? I really think that's the whole point of this fight. You know, I mean, granted, you know, Manny's got to stay active. While he can't just wait around for Floyd to decide to fight him. You know, they've gone through the negotiations. It's a tired subject. Manny's been on video several times now saying, I will do all the testing. That hurdle is seemingly, you know, gone now. But for whatever reason, you know, the fight still hasn't materialized. So Manny's got to fight, you know. He's got to still be active. Sure, you know, would I like to see him against Tim Bradley? Would I like to see him? You know, even Zab Judah, who just picked up a belt, might be kind of an interesting fight at age 32. And I know people will say I'm straight crazy, but he's got speed, he's got power, he's got defense, comparable size. If they did it close to 140 or, you know, 143, not
like
a bad
I've said
fight.
Before, you know, this is what I say. Whatever Manny decides to do, after even Sugar Shane Mosley, even now with Sugar Shane, it's not going to matter. A lot of folks are still going to have the criticism. Is there anybody out there to really, really find out whether or not he's looking to have the glory or is he looking just to have the paycheck? That's up to you as an individual to make a decision on. Me, personally, I don't look at Manny's fights as real fights anymore. I just look at him as being entertaining. I think that's what he's doing now. And you know what? I can't knock down his hustle. You know what I mean? I mean, a lot of superstars, when they hit that point of their career and that stardom, they say, you know what? I'm going to take advantage of everything. He signed with HP, you know, Hill Packer already. He's done Nike. He's done this. Hey, man, you know what? He's doing a lot of good things for the sport. Do I like who he's facing, who he's fighting? No, but I like all the other things that he's doing for the sport of boxing. Do I respect it? Do I like it? I'm a boxing head. And as a boxing head, I'm going to tell you the truth. No, I don't. No, I don't. And I'm going to let a couple of the boxing heads that probably would disagree or agree with me. So I'm going to let in Chris right now from who wants to talk, Manny Pacquiao and Sugar Shane Mosley. What's up, Chris? What's on your mind? You're live right now on Leave It in the Ring.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, brother. I'm over here celebrating and stuff, man. You know, doing our thing over here on Leave It in the Ring. How you doing?
I'm all right. Just wanted to say you guys definitely got some great points. I think Pacquiao's going to win, but I'm definitely pulling for Mosley just for the simple fact, I think we talked about this last week, that, you know, they didn't want to fight Mosley at first.
Right.
Mosley was, you know, chasing this guy. Well, I wouldn't say chasing him around, but, you know, just asking for the fight back then, and they didn't want to fight him. And, you know, Bob Arum's did a good idea with this job. But I just think people are more going by Mosley's fight against Mayweather than they are against Mora. I mean,
right?
You know, he thinks. You
and
know,
I agree.
And
I agree. You know, because style make fights. You know what I mean? I mean, the only thing is though is like you got to look at. This is the thing is, Chris, is that, well, this is what I'm looking at, and you're absolutely right. I've had tons and tons of emails on leavingtheringgmail.com, and they've said, man, you know what? He has a chance of rocking him, but style make fights. Floyd kind of sits back and waits. He allowed Shane to land that overhand right. Will Manny Pacquiao allow him to do something like that? Manny's not the kind of fighter that kind of waits. Shane really has to just let his hands go and allow himself to say, screw it, I'm going to throw, and hopefully I land. Does the old man have that enough to trigger it? I don't know. You know, I'm hoping he does. I'm with you. Exactly. I'm with you. I hope he does.
Yeah, I think you're definitely right when you said, you know, definitely work on timing. I mean, that's the main key in this fight for Shane because, you know, Marquez had all the timing. You know, that's why I think Pacquiao always had a tough time against Marquez. Marquez definitely was a great counterpuncher and,
right.
you know, excellent on timing. And that's why I think Bob Arum knows that, you know, they don't want to put Pacquiao against a timing-type puncher, you know, great counterpuncher, but as of recently. But I think, you know, like you were saying earlier, definitely time his shots. Mosley needs to time his shots, you know, go to the body as much as he could because I think
yep.
Margarito definitely hurt Pacquiao in the body, especially I think it was the eighth round. He hit him with a left hook in the body, and I could see Pacquiao folded for a second. You know, he got himself together. But, you know, Shane needs to go to the body, definitely time his punches, and punch, like you said, punch with Pacquiao while Pacquiao's throwing his shots. Because to me, I think Shane's definitely the harder one-punch puncher. So if he rocks Pacquiao the same way he did Mayweather, I pretty much think because of Pacquiao's you know, non-defensive manner like Mayweather did to hold and to clinch, I don't think he's going to get away from Mosley as easy as Mayweather did. So I think if Mosley catches Pacquiao clean, flush, hard, I think he'll stop him. But I definitely see maybe Pacquiao winning by decision. I don't see him really stopping or knocking out Mosley because Mosley's been in there with some punchers. I mean, Vernon Forrest,
right.
Oscar De La Hoya, so... He could take a shot.
You know, but here's the thing, though. You know, people are they look at that. You know, well, he landed on Floyd, but look at the way Floyd approaches fights. He's kind of stationary these days. He uses a lot of his upper body movement, a lot of his quickness. He's very deceptive in his range, but he's not hopping in and out. He's not perpetually moving the way Manny is in the upstairs.
Right.
Floyd got caught because he stood still in front of Shane Mosley and figured he'd be able to pick it off. Or kind of let it glance off, and he was wrong. Manny's not going to be standing there. I mean, I think you can catch Manny while he's throwing, you know, if you can handle the shots coming in, you can be able to time him. But, you know, to me, it's just Manny's not going to be coming straight to him. And also, there's one other factor I don't think anybody's really talked about. Shane's 39 years old. He just had his last fight in, September, at 154 pounds. He's moving back down in weight to 147 at age 39. That may take a little something out of him. It may take a little something out of his legs. You know, I don't think the wheels have looked very good in the last few fights anyways.
Well, you know what, though? That may benefit him, though, Gabe. I'm going to tell you right now. This is what I say. You know, and Nassim Rich is a very intelligent trainer. And no way in hell would I compare myself to any of these trainers that are out there that have world-class fighters themselves and doing what they need to do. But if I was training Shane, I would say, listen, your hand speed is a factor. Your foot speed, well, that's another thing. If you're late for the bus, buddy, you ain't going to catch it because your feet just won't fail you. You know, they're just going to fail you, you know, straight up. He's got to sit and just hard pivot through the whole fight. Don't look for Manny. Allow Manny to circle him and take pot shots because that's what Manny does. Manny's going to use his right-hand jab to find his way in, and then after that, when he feels that he's comfortable enough, he doesn't use any more jabs. He decides to let flurries go. After he decides to use those flurries, guess what? That's when you time him. Because now he's going to walk in, but he's not going to walk straight in. What he's going to do is going to circle, then come in. Circle, then come in. That's Manny's strategy. You got to figure it out. And that's what Shane's got to do. He's just got to keep continuously turning with him. You know what I mean?
Right.
But it's got to be simultaneous. It's almost like he's going to be dancing with the stars. Unfortunately, he's going to have to do the Sugar Ray Leonard, who got eliminated, and hope not get eliminated like Sugar. You know, after the fourth round, because it's going to be more crucial, because it's not going to be one of those eliminations where the judges say, well, you just didn't do enough, and you didn't look mobile. No, it's going to be one of those type of eliminations when you end your ass up on your back, bleeding, and nose busted up. He's going to have to just want to dance with his partner, in my opinion, in this fight. So he's going to have to be mobile with Manny. But not mobile-wise, where he's got to keep stepping forward, but he's got to keep turning with Manny, which leaves Manny to say, you know what, this guy is turning with me. He's taking away openings, or he's taking away my strategy, which is step outside of his foot, then attack. And he's just going to have to go for it, and that's when Shane, in my opinion, is just going to have a better chance of landing his overhand right. The only thing is, though, the overhand right, having Kareem Mayfield, which we had him on, 2 weeks ago, on the show, only tells you Freddie Roach is just not that dumb of a guy. He's a smart cat. He figured out, you know what, we need a guy that kind of mimics what Shane does. You know, the old Shane, which is hit, hold, hit, hold, hit, hold. And that's what they did. They went and got themselves a kid who was still strong enough to hit and hold. So now Shane's got to mix it up. He's got to use that uppercut that he was able to use with Miguel Cotto. And he's got to mix it up with his arsenal. Whether can the guy do it or not, I don't know. He's got to do a lot of stuff. I'm sorry to say this, you know. Even though, you know, Shane's like, look, everybody's counting me out like I'm an old guy. And dude, you got glasses while you're reading tweets on a big old screen. There was like a 56-inch screen in front of your face, and you got glasses on. You know, come on. You know, how are we not going to call you old, brother? You know what I'm saying? You look old
the
last
two fights. He looked old the last two fights, and it's just, I mean, to me, why did Floyd pick him? He'd been sitting on the shelf for a long time, and he'd finally gotten old enough to take. You know, why is Manny fighting him? Because he's gotten old enough to fight. You know, he's further removed from his good wins. I mean, there's a reason. You know, and I mentioned both of them because a lot of people are piling on Manny. But, you know, I'm sorry, but 38 is still pretty old, and Shane wasn't exactly looking good. You know, he looked good in the Margarito fight. But, you know, that's also taking away all the things that we know about Margarito heading into that fight. You know, but before that, he looked kind of bad against Ricardo Mayorga. He looked kind of ordinary in his previous fight. I mean, a lot of people, somebody got on me about that. He looked great in the Louis Collazo fight. Okay, he looked pretty good, I guess. Nothing to go, you know, wow, the old Shane is back. He's looked steadily worse each fight. That's why they're fighting him. And, you know, I kind of agree with the idea of maybe approaching him like, you know, Barrera approached Hamed, where you stay in the pocket, you don't follow him around too much, you just kind of cut off the ring
right,
and win the exchanges when they happen. But, you know, if you think about the guy that really took Manny to school or was competitive with him the last time, that was, you know, Marquez. And how did Marquez do it? He maintained his range. He stayed very disciplined.
That was like how many years ago, though?
And, right. That's only but he also... It is a long time ago, but I'm saying that the last time somebody was competitive with him and boxed well and actually used a game plan against a guy that still, yeah, he's got more punches now, but he's still moved in and out. He's
right.
Still kind of moved around. He was a speed demon. Was somebody with a good jab. That is something Shane Mosley's maybe had in one fight, and that was against Margarito. He's not used his stint. He rarely used it before. I don't see why he's going to, you know, unless he has a hot tub time machine up in Big Bear, I just don't see
how
he's
going to back the clock. And that was against a slow guy, too. That was against a slow guy, too, the mill. You know what I mean? Margarito, I mean. Hey, Chris, I'm going to put you on hold really quick, brother, because we got a lot of fight fans right now that are calling in. They want to talk about this fight here between Shane Mosley and Manny Pacquiao. Don't hang up, brother. We'll patch you right back in so we can continue discussing, because I'm pretty sure you're going to have some other points about somebody else that's going to say something about this fight, because they may not agree with us and feel very strongly about the opinions we're throwing out and say, yo, man, you guys are crazy. What are you guys talking about? So
I would like to say something about the fact that you brought up, like, you know, maybe does it hurt boxing or is it bad or this and that. Anytime a stadium is full of people, and this is probably going to do close to 1 million buys, that can't be bad.
No.
You know, experienced people that call themselves boxing heads or fight fans or whatever you want to call it, they should know the difference between, say, Berto versus Ortiz, which is a competitive fight between two young guys, and this fight, which is a little more of a showcase. You know, we're waiting for the big fight, a competitive fight with Manny. It's still going to be entertainment. And on some level, you know, there's just different levels. You know, is it bad for boxing? I don't think so. Not in any way, shape, or form.
That's why I say, Gabe, you know what? At Manny's point of his career and his life, does he need boxing hands? No. He doesn't need us anymore. You know what I mean? I think we've done enough where he could just look at us and say, you guys can criticize me as much as you want, but I can fight Mickey Mouse in Disneyland, and it's going to still sell thousands and hundreds, you know what I mean, of people to come down and stuff, you know. Let me patch in, you know, an old friend of mine, you know, actually a really good friend of mine, Rob Riller out of Puerto Rico. ¿Qué pasó? How you been, brother?
How you been? Long time no radio.
I know, long time no radio. How's everything going? Is Puerto Rico hot? Cool? What's going on
over
there?
Yeah, it's hot. It's hot right now. I've been sleeping all damn day. I can't sleep anymore. It's too hot.
So, who's your pick, bro, on this fight between Shane and Manny?
My pick is Tito Trinidad because I'm Puerto Rican. No,
hey, you know what? You know what's funny, dude? Is that's the same pick I have too. You know.
No, but I think, hey, you know, in regards to what the other caller said about them fighting Mosley, I don't think had Mosley not fought Mayweather and looked that bad against Floyd, I don't think they would have taken the fight against him. I think Roach saw that Floyd Mayweather fight. I think he was watching it very close to the TV, he saw that Shane was fading, that Shane had one more shot in that fight.
Right.
You know, it's like every old fighter has that last hurrah, and I think that last hurrah was that big right hand that he landed in that second round. But if I could pick a fighter for Mosley to come back and fight and say, okay, out of the top guys, out of the guys who are getting the fans most attention, who would be the guy that I would rather have Shane make a comeback against in the sense that he would have a chance of winning or knocking out? And then you would instantly think, okay, a guy's going to come forward, a guy's not going to move, and a guy that's going to be there to hit, and the guy that's going to want to make a confrontation, that guy's Manny Pacquiao. So if there was ever a fighter that Mosley could land that one more big right hand on, it would be Manny Pacquiao. And that's my only worry, is that Manny Pacquiao, no matter what people like to think, he has not fought somebody that has that big, huge right hand type
exactly.
power that Mosley has. And
well,
Mosley
even
has
the
a
speed,
chin,
even the speed
Mosley,
of Shane at 147, you know.
Yeah, the chin. Mosley's taking shots from bigger guys that have
right.
later on moved up in weight, you know. So and got knockouts, you know. So Mosley's chin is going to be there. The only thing is that it's his confidence. Mosley's confidence. I've never been a fan of Mosley because his confidence seems to diminish if he gets hit with discouraging type blows. You know, if he's throwing a shot and he's really committed to it, gets hit, he sort of gets discouraged. And, you know, with the uppercuts that you were saying and stuff, those are really risky shots to throw when it comes to his confidence. So
right.
I think he's gonna have cards on his table in this fight. He's not going in there as a complete underdog like people are saying, but he's gonna have to play his cards really carefully. And he's going to have to use his experience. He can't go in there like the same old Shane and expect to just be Shane and then knock somebody out. He's going to have to do something a little bit different and know when to throw the right hand instead of just flinging it out there and hoping it lands.
You know, hold on real quick, because I believe we have Sugar Shane Mosley's chin on the line right now. Sugar Shane Mosley's chin, are you on the line? You're wrong. I'm gonna knock him out right now. You know, you know what the thing is about Shane's chin in this 147 division with Manny Pacquiao is it's one of those battle tested chins. It's one of those type of chins that you can kind of rely on. And a lot of folks have said that, you know, Vernon Forrest has been able to drop him. As much as it stutters at times when he does interviews, I'm sorry, it's been battle tested. You can rely on that chin. But age is a factor. Am I not right here, Gabriel? Age sometimes, when you hit it enough times, you know what I mean? It's that clock, that old clock. When you hit it once, it may stop, you know, stop working. And then hit it again, it may click, tick again. But when you hit it numerous times, sometimes that clock does not come back on after it was clicking. And that's my major concern with Shane's chin here, is the stuttering factor of his chin. Will it stop stuttering after it gets connected? Not just once, but maybe a 4-6 punch combination for Manny Pacquiao.
I think about, you know, him coming down in weight, how old and how bad he's looked in the last couple fights. And then I just think about how many punches, you know, Floyd Mayweather was able to land on him. He made Floyd look like an offensive fighter in that fight, you know, for a while. And I think if Floyd had really put the pedal to the metal and let it go, it's possible that he could have dropped him or stopped him late in that fight. He had him kind of going and not knowing where it was coming from. And if he'd really stepped on it and really wanted it, I think it's possible he could have stopped him. And I don't even consider Floyd that big of a puncher at 147. He connects hard because he commits when he throws. He doesn't
right.
throw a lot, you know, but he does land solid. I think Manny's kind of an accumulation guy, and Shane doesn't move his head very much. He believes in his chin a little bit too much. And, you know, let's not forget, he has been hurt before. He has been dropped before. It was a long time ago, and it was from a very tall guy in Vernon Forrest, but still.
It was a headbutt, too, though. That kind of helped out a little bit with him getting dropped.
But the headbutt happened. They broke them, and then he got hit with a hellacious uppercut and a right hand. I mean, yeah, his head was probably buzzing, you know, no question. But, you know, he got help to it by the punches landed. But to me, you know, my pick in this fight is late stoppage. I'm going 11th round TKO. Either the
really?
Ref's going to stop it or the corner's going to stop it. Yeah, I just think that Manny's going to be too much. Shane's maybe going to look good early. He may even
play
early a lot to kind of stop the offense. Manny's going to take over. And it's going to be brutal.
Let me open up another beer before I make my pick and stuff. Rob, really, really quick, brother. You know what I'm saying? Let me have a swig because I don't know. Stop it? Wow. You, go ahead, Rob.
Yeah.
You got a pick for this fight?
That's the whole point of this fight.
I'm picking Manny, but I'm not sure if he's going to stop him because he didn't stop Margarito. You know, he could have. He just didn't want to. He didn't want to hurt him or he didn't want to damage him or something. You know, if he didn't want to damage Margarito, and, you know, if he's going to be hitting
right.
Mosley all night, what's to say that he just doesn't let Mosley play, which could be a really big mistake. But
exactly.
It depends on how stern. I think Roach is going to be very very strict in this fight. He's going to want Manny. So if a stoppage is going to come, I think Richardson is going to stop the fight and not let Mosley go. I think Richardson is just that type of guy. I think he has that type of respect for Mosley.
The thing with Margarito, though, is that I think the reason why he really honestly didn't press for the stoppage, and I could be wrong about this, you know, but I'm just giving you my whole perception of it, my opinion, is that he had a guy that was coming forward, a big guy, over 168 or almost close to it, who was still dangerous and still able to throw punches, slow as hell. I mean, even turtles were looking at the guy and going, like, that's a slow-ass motherfucker right there, you know? But he was still able to land pretty big, significant punches. I think Manny was a little concerned about that and hurt throughout the rounds to say, you know what, is it worth it to be in that pocket with this bigger guy? With Floyd, you know, he's not a very, you know, with them recording him as 5'9", those are some pretty big soles on their shoes because a lot of these fighters, even like Amir Khan, they're not 5'9". Gabe, you can attest to that. They're not 5'9", they're not 5'8", they're about 5'6", 5'7", not very big, man. I'm sorry, I'm not 5'10", there's no way in hell. I mean, if I am, I'm a pretty tall Mexican. I'm 5'9", I know that, you know what I mean? And that's without zapatos, shoes and stuff, you know, barefooted, without socks. I'm 5'9". With shoes, I'm about 5'9 and a half. Gable's about 5'9 with shoes. We're not very tall. You know what I mean? And to hear these guys, and I'm standing next to these guys, and I'm going, so how tall are you? And they're all, I'm 5'9". Dude, I'm 6 foot then. Get out of here. No way.
The thing, you know, I don't really hold Manny not stopping Margarito against him and saying that because of that he can't stop Shane. Margarito's a much, much bigger man than Shane and Manny. And you know, Shane was able to stop Margarito because he's very stationary. He's also natural to the weight. Manny was moving up. You know, granted, he came in at his normal weight, but that was a small guy beating up on a guy that was, like, what, 16 pounds heavier than him. And if you really look at the fight, where they didn't stop it, it went to the cards. But in a normal circumstance, like, you know, having a good referee, not Lawrence Cole, an agreement not between Garcia and Margarito to under no circumstances stop the fight, I think that ends up being a stoppage. He beat the fight out of Margarito.
right.
That fight, his eye was jacked up. It should have been stopped, and it wasn't. I don't really hold that against Manny. You know, when you look at this fight and this matchup, you've got a very stationary guy in Shane who can't pull the trigger, who doesn't throw punches and bunches, who telegraphs the hell out of that right hand. You might as well send an email, text message, tweet about it, and then get Western Union involved before he throws that right hand, because everybody sees it coming. His chest puffs out. He kind of flicks that left hand out in kind of a jab, and then he just wings the hell out of that right hand. I mean, Manny should be able to duck under it and not get hit by it, I think. You know, it was a little bit more down the pipe against Floyd, but generally he wings it, particularly late when he gets frustrated.
Right.
I see a guy that's just going to get the hell beat out of him, personally. I know everything that he needs to do, but, you know, I know that Nazim Richardson's great at game planning, but his problem is the same problem he had in the Floyd fight. He has the right game plan and the mentality. He does not have the material to get that job done.
You know what? I don't even know if he has the material. I mean, you know, let's think about this. When's the last time he had the right game plan? Is when he was very active, he was in his prime, and he fought in 2001 against Oscar De La Hoya. You know, even the time when he fought Oscar De La Hoya the first time at the Staples Stadium in Los Angeles, he struggled a little bit. You know what I mean? He was getting caught with a jab. He was in a very, very competitive fight with Oscar, who was in his prime as well. But after that, Gabe, he's a guy that's always relied on his speed and his power. Even when he fought, you know, Shane, it was more based out of luck. When he fought Mayorga, it was based out of looking for that big punch, throwing that big punch and hoping to land and stuff. I mean, Shane to me is just not the kind of guy that has strategies. He's a guy that just throws what he can because he's got power in both hands and he could do what he got to do and get himself out of situations. But we've seen it time and time again in his fights. Not always is he successful. Is he going to be successful against a guy that throws 6 to 8 punches? I highly doubt it. But then again, you know what? We all counted out Eric Morales, and look where he was at. Even though he didn't win, a lot of us felt like, whoa, this guy has definitely got himself back over here in the sweepstakes.
Yeah, but, you know, Manny is no Marcos Maidana, or Maidana is no Manny. He's a pretty one-dimensional guy with one of the lower boxing IQs I've ever seen.
Right.
You know, there was a reason why Morales picked him to fight. And Shane, there's a reason why he picked Manny to fight. You know, there's probably about 5 million reasons why he picked him, and some upside on the pay-per-view. But that doesn't, you know, to me it's different than an old guy with nothing to prove saying, you know what, I want to come back, but I'm going to do it against this limited guy. And a guy like Shane, who just came out of a divorce, you know, who's barely getting the real big paydays in his life. Margarito wasn't the biggest payday in the world. The Floyd fight was a good payday, and this is a good payday. It's comparable to that. That there's a reason why at 39 he's still fighting. And I don't know if it's necessarily to prove that he's the best or to get back on top, but I think a big part of it is money. You know,
yeah, I think so too.
That nest egg,
I agree.
When you make a decision based on money, generally you're going to compromise yourself, you know, and I think he has in this fight. So, you know, we're going to see. You know, I'm definitely going to watch it. I mean, there's no question I'm going to watch it, you know, and it might be entertaining. Shane might, you know, surprise us. But you think about the way Morales surprised us. He was able to deal with a kind of a slower guy who throws wide shots, use the ropes. Manny doesn't do that. Manny throws a lot of punches. He's going to come down the pipe. He's going to look for angles and move to the side. He's going to look for the openings, and he's going to throw 6 punches to land 2 or 3. You know, I just think that everybody thinking that upset is going to happen and it's going to carry over. I just think the upset streak is definitely going to end this weekend.
I hope not, because, that, you know, that's the reason why we watch boxing, is to see upsets. You know, I know there's a lot of people that love Manny Pacquiao, and you know what? More power to you. I like Manny a lot too. But hey man, I always like to see a little bit of a hiccup in somebody's career, just to kind of reground them and say, okay, that's what happened here. And you know, I know that if I know for a fact that if Floyd was to upset, does it mess up a lot of things that are kind of cooked up for the top rank and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, I understand all that. You know what I mean? But that, to me, is what happens when you, in my opinion, is when you start cherry picking. When you decide to say, you know what, we're going to do this and we're going to do that, and we're not going to fight this person. Now, I know a lot of folks are saying, well, who is he supposed to fight next, Dave? Who's he supposed to do this? Hey, you know what? I'm with you. I don't know. The biggest test, maybe sit back for a while. I don't know. You know, is he being active? Is he fighting the fighters that have big names? Yeah, of course, but there's no way you can sit back and go, well, this is not a for sure win for him. You know, or is this really a competitive fight? Can you really honestly sit there and go, well, this is a competitive fight? No, you can't do that. You got to call, if it looks like a duck, it walks like a duck, and it swims like a duck, guess what? It's going to be a duck. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean,
that's just the way it is.
I just, you know, for me, a lot of it is just, what is he supposed to do? You know, I mean, I guess...
Yeah, what is
on some level, you know, he could fight Bradley or Khan. But, you know, those guys, he's not going to fight Khan. They have the same trainer, and there's the Golden Boy top rank thing. Bradley right now is kind of up in the air. And you know, to Bob Arum's point, you know, okay, he's dangerous, and he's at the top of his division, but the guy sells zero tickets. So
right.
Why should we make that fight? You know, a lot of people are sitting in.
You know what, that's the thing, too, is that there's really, honestly, I got to say, there's really nobody out there left for him. To the point, Gabe, I even look at it as like, why are you even continuing to fight?
Money.
Yeah, I mean, the money, great. But that's why I say, well, then you might as well call it what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is. My article this week was called, you know, it was same fight, different opponent. Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely entertainment, you know.
Right.
Is it what we look at boxing for, you know, for the most part? I mean, to me, pure boxing is you know, the two top guys in the division that have worked their way to that point by beating everybody else, and then the fight happens. Or like, you know, Trinidad versus De La Hoya, although that wasn't a good fight, it was still a very logical fight, and those guys had built themselves into draws and then beaten pretty much everybody in their division to the point where it was like, all right, it's time for you guys to fight each other. You know, Bradley and Alexander was not back. They had not beaten everybody in their division. You know, Bradley had beaten most people. He hadn't beaten the young guns, and the fight really was just microwaved. The same way I think Con Bradley would be microwaved if they did it right now. I absolutely, you know, 100% agree with Tim Bradley's decision to not take that fight right now. People will say, yeah, but, you know, we need clarity. We need best versus the best. Okay, and then what? You know, look at Bradley Alexander. That was best versus the
exactly.
best. Happened?
That's what I say. You know, you can't hate exactly what Manny is doing. You know, when I hear he signs with this, like I went into the other day to the Champs shoe store, and I see Manny's shoes there and all, you know, his apparel. Hey, man, I was like, woo, this is great. You know what I mean? I love it. Because the fact that he is putting boxing exactly where a lot of us felt that it needs to be, in the faces of the mainstream people, you know. But to sit there, I'm not going to lie. I've had fight fans ask me, no, not fight fans, I'm sorry, you know, that are not really par with the game of the sport and go, hey, you know, what do you think? You know, you think Shane could do this, blah, blah, blah. And I have to be truthful. Look, man, the dude just has not looked that fantastic. Fantastic. You know, next week, though, we got some very competitive fights. You know what? I'm going to have to take that back. I can't even lie to you on that one and stuff. I almost stepped on my tongue there for a minute there, Gabriel. Andy Ward versus Arthur Abraham and Chris the Nightmare. Ariella versus Nagy Agadir. Competitive? No.
No, not at all.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Hey, you want to make a for sure bet? This is probably by far as far as for sure you're going to get out of these guys that are going to be facing each other on May 14th on Saturday night at the Home Depot, Carson, California. Again, you know, we had a good run for boxing in April. I think a lot of us were very entertained. A lot of us were very excited. But every good ending has to have an end. Do you not agree, Gabe?
Yeah, I think, you know, we're talking about Areola, you know, that's a get back fight. And it's still, you know, that fight's frustrating to me. It shouldn't be that fight, you know. It should be another fight. And I know I'm a Mo Harris supporter, but that's the fight I'd much rather see. Although Mo's got himself a hell of a fight against Tony Thompson in an eliminator bout, which actually is a very interesting fight that we will get to in the next week or so. You know, I just think, yeah, you know, all good things come to an end. I think Shane's kind of ending very slowly, you know. I mean, I think it was pretty clear in the Mora fight that he was kind of done. And I think we were all shocked because the last thing we had seen of Shane was him looking like he'd turned the clock back against Margarito. But then, you know, you fast forward, what, 16, 17 months, he's fighting Mayweather and he looks like absolute crap.
Right.
You know, to me, it was just obvious. He sat on the shelf too long. Maybe there was rust. But I think also, you know, he had just, there was a bit of a mirage there that Margarito might have been in such bad condition, and also the perfect style for Shane, that he was able to turn back the clock, quote unquote, against you know, a younger, fresher guy that has not taken a lot of damage,
hey,
in Mayweather.
I'm not going to object to the fact that a lot of fight fans said, hey, he was juiced up for that fight. You know, and a lot of people have made these stipulations, and, you know, I'm going to sit there. It's kind of hard to argue with this, you know what I mean? When you got guys that, well, you know what, he was tested with Floyd Mayweather. He wasn't able to get the edge, and you got to sit there and you got to wonder at some point, did he put you? Then you got to look at other things. You know, the thing about when a guy finally fesses up and what he's doing and what he's done in the past kind of leaves so many doors open that one of them's not going to be completely closed, that you can't really sit there and go, well, no, because the fact that it could be still unlocked, it's a really tough thing, you know. I mean, what does Shane have in this one? I hate to count a guy out. I even tweeted this out. It's really sad to see that people were talking about Marquez when the fight hasn't happened between Manny and Shane Mosley. It's like, are you really going to disrespect a guy that's a Hall of Famer, that's had 32 wins, 32 knockouts, a guy that's still naturally strong at 147 and has got some speed? I mean, but then you got to look at all the other things that come along with it, that he has a pretty good tail that you could sit back and say, well, yeah, Dave, I am counting them out. You know, and that's the hard part about it, you know. And that's what I think, to me personally, Gabe, where it really hurts boxing in a whole. You know, I mean, look at Chris. Like right now, you just mentioned Maurice Harris. I mean, why is he fighting some other dude that got knocked out twice prior before fighting Chris? The fact is he's fighting Chris because Chris needs somebody to be there as a body to be laid out on television so they can get him a possible championship fight. So people that don't watch the sport of boxing could say, hey, this guy's really back and he's 247 pounds. Who cares if it's 247? You know what? That's the funny part. He's 247 or 245, but he's against a guy that you could beat 300 pounds and it wouldn't matter.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, I mean, he's had, what, Nagy's had two decision losses. He got knocked out by Sam Peter back in March 2010. You know, the one win, he got a KO over Roderick Willis. He knocked him out and won, but, you know, Roderick hadn't won a fight in like six fights. He was on a six-fight losing streak. You know, I mean, I think Nagy's claim to fame at his peak was beating Oleg Mostyov in one. That's kind of about it. I mean, you know, he might give Chris some rounds, which is, you know, they are working on some things. If Chris doesn't knock him out, you know, I kind of consider it a bit of a failure. You know, cause, I mean, he went the distance with Mo Harris, who's not a big puncher. You know, he's a good boxer, he's not a big puncher. But he got shut out against Mo, pretty much, except for like one scorecard. And then against Tarver, you know, that was just a horrible fight to watch, you know, and he was very reluctant to let his hands go. I think with Chris, you know, they want somebody that's going to give him a little more rounds.
That was against a guy that was out of shape, too, by the way. You know, Tarver was not in shape for that fight.
Yeah, he's not a heavyweight, and he still lost and went
right
to distance.
That's what I'm saying. You know, Chris could have been 200, and he could have been 300, 320, 350 plus. It would have not mattered.
It's about consistency with Chris, and I think, you know, at least, at the very least, he's fighting often. You know,
January. There's no question about it. Chris has always been entertaining. He's a guy that doesn't even – I mean, guys go, oh, he's up, you know, this guy's fat and he's this. But he's never gassed out. You know what I mean? There's no question about it. He leaves his heart in his ring. And I'm hitting my desk at the same time, and my bobbleheads are nodding their heads in agreement with me. This guy's never gassed out, right, guys? No, they have never. You know? So that's – I agree with that. But I kind of go back with, really, did you need this fight? I mean – if you want to get the respect that you guys are kind of gearing for, and, you know, Henry Ramirez is a friend of ours. We've spent time with Henry, you know, myself, Gabe, numerous times. Chris as well, you know, we've sat down with him, even with the Goose and Tudor family. And, you know what, nobody seems to answer this question valiantly. You know what I mean? Saying, hey, listen, this is the reason why. The reason why is they need Chris to win, to look good, TV friendly, and that's the whole point.
Well, you know, and you know, friends is a relative term. You know, I mean, we're friendly with, you know, it's not like
right.
I go chilling at Henry's house or anything. But I actually did talk to him today. I think he was going to call in today. But you know, to me, the big problem with a lot of fighters is that they don't fight often enough. And if you really look back at all the old-time greats, there's a lot of Nagy Aguileras on their docket. You know, there just are. You know, in between all the great fights, you look back and you go, there was a lot of guys that they could beat. And I think the important thing for Chris is to fight more often. It keeps him out of trouble, keeps him in the gym, keeps him focused on the goal, which is ultimately get a title. And I don't really have a huge problem with it. I would have preferred a better opponent. I would have preferred, you know, Maurice Harris, who actually has a ranking, and that would have led to a title eliminator. You know, Nagy's doing his own thing. Mo and Tony Thompson are doing their own thing, so they moved to this opponent. It's still, you know, does it mean anything? Not really. But in a sense of making sure that Chris is focused, getting through a couple training camps. Henry told me today that if this is if he's successful next week, they're going to bring back in Daryl Hudson. Now that Chris is he weighed in 241 yesterday. And so they're hoping to get him down to like 238 to 235, somewhere in there by next week, and pull it off naturally. He's not starving. He's not, you know, trying to make that weight the way normal fighters in lower weight classes do, but really work it off. And then when they bring in Daryl, they'll actually be able to kind of fine-tune him. It's hard to start it at fat farm level and then bring in a guy like Daryl Hudson. I think the reason why it worked for Angulo so well is that he was already in shape. Now he's just taking that body to another level, and I think that's what they want with Chris. And I'm pretty sure that the next fight, I don't think it'll be a title shot for certain, because those guys are all locked up, but it will be against a top-level opponent. It'll be against a higher-level guy. To me, you know, I can't say without question, but that seems the way seems to be the way things are leaning at this point. You know, and so if it does happen, and it happens often, or, you know, it happens quick after this fight, I don't have a huge problem with this. And I think there's, in some ways, they're trying to rebuild Chris's image. Because I don't know if you didn't go out to that fight in Anaheim when he fought Manny Cazada.
No, I didn't. I sent somebody else, but I heard it was
– Yeah, it was disappointing. It was underwhelming. And all that support, even kind of close to his home, was kind of gone. And you could tell that people were frustrated by him showing up fat, not really giving a shit, talking, you know, badly. And, you know, just, you know,
and it serves them right. And it serves them right. I mean, listen, I mean, you know, you're getting tons and tons and tons of money by buyers and viewers that are dishing out this hard work, earned money from blue collar people that, which in an economy right now that has been shitted on so bad. And by the way, you know, Navy SEALs, congratulations, and your compliment of finding Ben, you know, who is a big part of why the economy has been in such a, you know, in a hole. But as a fighter, you know, you're getting guys right now that are rarely working. They're scrounging up every little money. You know what I mean? I'm pretty sure there's plenty of fight fans out there, and I'm not the only one, but are going out and you know, collecting their cans and bottles so that they make sure they have at least some beers along the side so they can watch the fights. So you're going to come in half-assed. The fans are going to come in half-assed as well. You know, I mean, look, I've always been a huge supporter of both guys. You know, Chris to Henry. I'm more of a supporter of Henry. I like Henry. I think Henry's a great trainer. Puts in a lot of effort with his fighters. You know, but Chris, hey brother, you know you got to do what you got to do. We were out there, Gabe, and you know what? We were stood up how many times? I mean, I've been stood up once, but 3-4 times in within a 2-day period. Wow.
Yeah. It was. It was kind of a trip, but, you know, it was weird. It was like I was talking to Henry today, and he said, you know, what's strange is that was kind of the last time. It was almost like he was taking care of everything before camp and kind of blowing things off a little bit. But he actually said this was shocking, is that there's been a few times where he's arrived, where Chris has called him and said, dude, I'm here. Where are you? And then Henry has to drive over to, you know, get to the gym. Like, Chris is beating him to the gym now. And he said, I don't want to look a gift horse in the mouth. I'm not sure why this change happened. It was probably to do with, you know, making a ton of money in the Adamic fight and then losing that and going to, you know, losing an O on the paycheck, you know.
Right.
And you know, also turning 30 and kind of realizing that, you know, not the end is near because heavyweights can last a long time. But, you know, unless you want to turn into an old punching bag as opposed to kind of a mature contender that maybe has a shot once the Klitschko's, you know, vacate the throne, which I think they will within a year or so. You know, the division will open up for Chris, and I think people kind of miss that. They're like, they look at the Vitaly fight. I don't think it's going to have to be him fighting Vitaly or Vladimir to get that title. I don't think either guy stays in the sport that long. I think
right. If
Vladimir knocks out David Haye, it does it, you know, in emphatic fashion leading up to that moment, and there's no need for a rematch, where else is he going to go? The big fight is over.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if he retires. And Vitaly, if he beats Adamic, you know, where else does he go? I think they might go out on top. And then, boom, you know, we've got the same situation when Lennox Lewis retired. All the belts floating around, and now it's up to the guys left to define the division and define themselves as champions. I think Chris is in the driver's seat if he really keeps this up. I mean, because you've got, you know, you've got Robert Hellenius out there, you know, Alexander Povetkin. He must be partying in Cancun with Angulo because I have no idea where he is. But these are guys, you know, that are kind of on the fringes, you know, waiting around to make a move in the division. I think it's very possible for Chris to pick up a belt in the current climate, or the climate that I see, you know, coming. So to me, he's just got to stay active. He's just got to stay busy. And, you know, the main event of that, though, you know, Ward versus Abraham is, I'm curious to see it. But, you know, Abraham's looked terrible in his last two fights, too.
Right. You know, really quick, I want to announce a couple other fights here. This Friday night, I think we're going to keep the mismatches going here and there. On the Golden Boy card in Solo Boxeo, I mean, we have two winners that are going to be heading out to the Fantasy Springs Casino in Solo Boxeo. You're going to have super middleweight contender Librado Andrade, who's going to be facing Aaron Pryor Jr., along with his brother on the undercard. And you're going to have Randy Caballero. Now, the rumor is this. I don't know what you've heard, Gabe, but this is the rumor that I'm hearing. Andrade, the reason why Aaron Pryor is being put in, Jr., okay, you know, we haven't heard a whole lot about, but his name is obviously a big name because of what his dad has accomplished against a Hall of Famer, Alexis, is brought into this because he hasn't been that active, and Librado is being promised to Kid Chocolate for his next fight. You know, Kid Chocolate needs a big, significant name. Andrade, who's a guy that can take a big punch, who was stopped by Lucien Boutte, who Lucien Boutte, I believe, is the only man that's been able to stop this tough Mexican, you know, grilled kind of guy who has never been dropped except for Lucien Boutte. I mean, I don't think anybody was calling for that second time around. The first fight, Lucien was able to land everything except the kitchen sink and not able to put a dent with the jack-in-a-box worker asleep at all. The guy was still able to walk away from the fight in Canada and go back to work and ask for what your next order is. You know, what do you want? Jumbo Jack?
Actually, you know who did drop him is it was a fight I was actually at. I think it was a Pacquiao undercard fight. Was Yusef Mack dropped him in the first round, but then Andrade came back and dropped Mack three times in the seventh and ended it right there.
You know what? You're right. I remember that fight. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was a hell of a fight. It was one of those undercard fights where, like, you know, it looked like it was going to be a blowout for Yusef Mack early, and then slowly, it's like a Mexican monster movie. You know, he's like the Mexican Jason. You can just, like, stab him, shoot him, blow him up, and he'll just keep coming. You know, he's like, it was a great fight. And you know, even, you know, Mikkel Kessler put it on Andrade, wasn't able to drop him. You know, and Butte, you know, barely made it out of that first fight and was able to stop him the second time. And I think, I think that's a hell of a fight. I hadn't heard that. I haven't talked to Kidd since his win. But to me, that is a really good fight. I think it's a nice fight for Kidd Chocolate. It's going to be kind of a funky fight, though, in terms of weight. I wonder where they're going to put that. Because, you know, Andrade is fighting at 170 pounds this weekend, you know. And he's been, you know, a super middle, so maybe he can come down to 165 like they did with Brinkley. We'll see, you know. There's an interesting fight on that card, too. It was funny, because, you know, I'm always kind of hunting all the bout cards now, or bout sheets for the mismatches, because I've been doing that series. And you know, this one does have one, Regino Pena versus Deontay Wilder, but you can read my mismatch report tomorrow. So a 6-6 guy with one KO and Pena versus a 15-0 with 15 knockout guy. Yeah, that's even.
You mean to tell me that you mean to tell me it's worse than the Refredo Vasquez versus Jorge Arce? It's not a mismatch. It's worse than that.
Yeah, I mean, this guy's like 6-6 with one KO. I mean, it's not exactly, you know, the winner's circle. It's not, you know, wow. I don't know. I mean, it's a developmental fight.
That's pretty bad, then.
The last time I saw Deontay Wilder, he wasn't looking that great. I don't know if he's had a fight in between. But this other fight, and it was funny. I was going into the docket, and I was like, okay, this guy's 2-6-1 with two KOs. That's something I'll flag. And then I looked at who he's fighting, and he's fighting a guy that's 3-8-2 with one KO. Like, well, I guess that's evenly matched. It's like two guys that aren't very good in terms of their records fighting each other. So I don't know if I'm actually going to flag that one. Maybe it's like a, you know, loser retires kind of a fight. But certainly the other one. You know, the Jorge Arce fight I'm not terribly happy for it.
Well, let's be honest about
it.
The Jorge Arce fight, the only reason why this fight is happening is because it's not a rumor. It might be a rumor. I may be wrong about this, but my sources is telling me that it's an actual fact that, you know, it has to have to do so with some ties with the Mexican Mafia and the reason why he's getting this. I mean, the reason why he's still in the boxing game and he's pressuring a particular trainer who's on his corner to have him on is because he's afraid to say no. You know what I mean? I mean, when you have the cartel come in and say, no, you're training him. You're going to end up doing what he's got to do. You're going to say, hey, do you want that? What do you want? A package in a bowl? No problem. Now, Arce, at one point, has got to look at it and say, dude, I'm not the same guy. But maybe Arce también is being told, hey, you are the same guy. Who's the no? Vasquez, to me, has just got all the tools in the book right now. He's been looking explosive. He's a guy that still has the youth on his side. I would say to me, the lollipop kid is no longer a lollipop kid. He's a guy that looks a little bit to be too old to have a lollipop in his mouth, Gabriel. I don't know. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I mean, at those weights, too, you know, he's kind of ancient, you know. And granted, he hasn't lost since 2009. You know, he hasn't looked great, and he hasn't been fighting top-level opposition. You know, the guys are, you know, 24-13, 35-3. You know, Martin Castillo, who's very old, he beat him last July and knocked him out in one. But, you know, like, when I flag a fight, you know, when I'm looking at a mismatch, I look at experience level, I look at activity level. You know, and Arce hasn't fought since last December. But in his last five fights, you know, he was able to knock pretty much or stop most of the guys except for one. They, you know, did a split draw against Lorenzo Parra, kind of a tough fight. But, you know, like comparing it to the other fight that I mentioned earlier, Deontay Wilder against, you know, Reggie Pena, Pena has lost, you know, you go back to, let's say, 2009, when he was fighting at light heavyweight, he lost TKO to two to Yordanis de Spain. He fought his next few fights, 179, 170 pounds, 184 pounds, 178 pounds in August of 2010.
Right.
He fought in October of 2010 at 190 pounds. And then, you know, just this March, he fought at 191. Now, he lost those last four fights by KO in two, by TKO in three, then TKO in four. Then he lost a six-round decision. And these are not fights that are scheduled, you know, for very long. You know, now you look at who he's fighting. He's fighting a six-rounder, okay? So it's the same kind of level of opposition in terms of how long they're trained to fight, you know, and their experience with that. But Deontay Wilder is not a small heavyweight. You know, he's 6'7", 84-inch reach, and he's a natural heavyweight. He's been fighting at heavyweight, you know, as high as, you know, 221 pounds, which is his last fight. He only comes in around that. This is basically kind of a light heavyweight, kind of borderline cruiserweight-ish guy. You know, started his career at 164 pounds, now fighting a heavyweight. He's been knocked out in three of his last fights and lost the last one by decision to somebody that was 3-0. That's a fight that I would flag and say, this is a mismatch. This is going to end dangerously. Somebody's going to get hurt, and it's not going to be Deontay Wilder. That's to me the epitome of a
right.
You know,
fight
that's
fans.
California, baby.
Yeah, that's California. You know, and I got to give kudos to Gabriel here, Gabriel Montoya, who has been really honestly pulling the sheet over these guys, and exposing them to fight fans. If you haven't had a chance to go and check it out, the series that he's been creating, please do on Max Boxing. It's a great, great read, and it's also going to speed you up to what has boxing been doing. I mean, when you talk about corruption, you know what? I mean, when somebody says, well, boxing is corrupted, you at least want to be able to speak intelligent about it and know that, you know what, yeah, you're right. I mean, when there's a couple things happening within your own household, as the head of the household person, you want to be able to address it and say, well, yeah, but this is what we're doing at the same time. So, you know, when I hear people saying, yeah, boxing is corrupted, well, you know what? I got a guy by the name of Gabriel Montoya who's pointing it out. It's not like we're avoiding it or we're trying to not say, hey, we take notice of it. We're not blind at all. We got somebody that is a voice and is willing to put his neck on the line, and not even put his neck on the line be among his peers. His peers are even telling him, like, dude, I don't know, man. You know, got to be more careful. Not me. Don't look at me, guys, because I'm telling Gabe, hey, dude, you know what? You pulled out the sword, now start slicing away. And when you're done, make me a sandwich. You know what I'm saying?
it's a strip, too, because, you know, I don't even really, you know, get into that whole trying to trash other writers, you know, because I worry about what I write. You know, I don't even, I'll be perfectly honest, I don't read a lot of other writers. You know, I read Tom Hauser, I read Carlos Acevedo, I read Steve Kim, and a few other guys, you know, like Kevin Ioli and guys like that. But very few, you know, because I generally work kind of all covering the same ground, and I don't really see a reason to read too many people, because a lot of times I'm just reading what I already know. But, you know, with this one, it was just weird, you know, like I went to the Golden Boys show, the Fight Night Club, which was kind of the inspiration for my first mismatch report, which is what the series is called. It's volume one.
Right.
And I honestly, you know, I'd written about mismatches in California, and I've been doing a long story. Steve mentioned it was going to be out. And I'm like, I'm still working on it. I'm still trying to get certain interviews and get, you know, all my ducks in a
row. You know, Mark Ortega, we sent him out to the California hearing, and he's still waiting on particular people from the commission to call him back so he can complete his investigation, his article for Leaving the Ring. I mean, it's just, you know, a lot of folks don't understand
really
that.
To, Yeah.
They don't want to talk about particular things. It's very difficult to really get a second party that doesn't want to talk about particular things because they know they're in the wrong of it. You know, I mean, it's hard, man. I mean, fight fans can bitch and complain, but when you're not in the mix, it's a little bit more frustrating when you have the person in front of you that can actually give you the answer, and they're not saying nothing. They're staying mute. They're literally looking right through you and pretending you're not even there. You're not a factor. That's the most frustrating part. I understand and I feel for, because me personally, I'm not a writer. I'm a guy that reads other people's work and say, that's some pretty good writing right there. But I got good writers that do a lot of plenty of things for Leaving in the Ring, as yourself, Gabe, that does great stuff, you know what I mean, that just doesn't write particular things. Unless the guy doesn't answer the phone, you'll run with it, you know what I mean? You'll make several attempts. I've spoken to you numerous times where you even asked me, hey, Dave, I'm trying to contact this guy. Do you know who else I can go through to find him before I write this story? I've seen you sit on a story for months and months and months. Then finally it comes out and you're like, well, I had to let it be released. And now the dude's pissed off when you've given them the opportunity to speak voice about it, and they decided to stay mute, you know?
I think it's, to me, you know, Golden Boy was upset. Understandably, I mean, you know, the first article looked like a hit piece on Golden Boy.
Right.
When in fact, I really only mentioned their name once in the thing. But the whole article was.
Well, why didn't you follow anything about the East Coast though in that article?
Well, because I don't cover the East Coast, but I did. In the very next article, you know, because I'm really targeting.
What about Top Rank?
I actually did them in the next article, and they'll be mentioned. In volume three, coming out tomorrow.
Those were the questions that were asked to Gabriel on that night.
they were upset, and I understand. You know, they have a job to do, and I explained. I said, look, you're a promoter. You know, you guys would put, you know, me versus, you know, my father, you know, who's 72, you know, up in the ring if you could sell it. You know, it's up to the commission to me that they're the last line of defense to look at a fight card and go, dude, this is not good. And if you look at that first, you know, that volume one, and really volume two was kind of on the money too. And then you look at the fight reports or look at the fights, they all went exactly how I said they would. And to me, it was just very dangerous. Frankie Gomez fighting that guy and knocking him out in 25 seconds. Two landed punches. That doesn't help him. That doesn't help anybody. It certainly doesn't help the fighter that got knocked out with two punches. And the audience that came and paid good money to see Frankie Gomez, they all probably spent, you know, I don't know, $20 for parking. They bought beers. They didn't get value for their money. 25 seconds? I mean, really, you know, if you spent $100, that's ridiculous.
That used to be the biggest problem for Mike Tyson fights. If you remember back in the days, paying, you know, $30, which was not a lot of money at that time. I mean, it was not a lot of money right now, but at that time it was a lot of money. It was almost like $50 in the times we're in right now. But a lot of people's big complaints, they wouldn't even buy pay-per-views on Mike Tyson because he was knocking guys out within 55 to 3 minutes of the round. You know, it wouldn't even go past second, third round, and a lot of people were complaining about that. I live in a household where a lot of people won't even pay for the pay-per-view because of that factor here. I mean, a mismatch is a mismatch. You could be as dumb as you want to be. But unless you're obsessed with the fighter, which we have a lot of those, you're going to pay for it. I mean, well, I guess you know what, though, Gabe? I just took a jab at people because about that, when I'm one of them, I'm very obsessed with boxing. And guess what? I do still pay for them. I still sit down and want to watch the fight because I am obsessed with the game of boxing.
Well, that was funny, too. They asked me, well, if you're so upset about the card, why did you come? Well, it's my job, you know, and you know, I'm going to cover it. And if somebody gets hurt, I want to be there. I want to ask the doctor what's going on. You know, that's kind of my job, you know. And like I said, you know, what I told them, and it was heated, but it was respectful. And I said, look, when you see volume 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, because I'll keep doing it until the CSAC cleans up their act, then you'll realize that I'm not targeting you guys. I'm targeting everybody. I'm targeting mainly the California Commission. I'm looking also at the Nevada Commission because that's part of my beat, is to cover Vegas fights. You know, and granted, the whole world is kind of my beat when it comes to boxing, but I think that writing this and being, you know, right here in L.A. and actually going to the fights where I face all these people, the big difference between a blogger and a writer is that I write this stuff, and then I got to go to the arena, and I got to get text messages saying, so-and-so is furious at you, or this company is furious at you, and you know, they're going to do this or that.
Who's not your lady?
people are telling me that, and I know I got to walk through that door, and nobody's going to be able to fight this battle but me, and my research better be right. You know, that's a big difference. But to me, targeting California and writing about this specific place, I mean, there was worse stuff happening in France, but France doesn't read me. You know, maybe a couple fans do. But California does read me. I know the commissioners definitely read it. I know some of the refs definitely read it. And certainly former members and fighters, all those people definitely read it. They're going to have to deal with it because I'm going to keep writing it. And maybe that, through that process, I can affect a change. But I also put, you know, the email in there. I put the Twitter account in there for the CSAC, you know, and for Golden Boy. And I said, if you like the show, tell them. If you don't like the show and you think something's wrong and you want more value for your money and better fighter safety, then email them. Don't just rely on me. Take charge for yourself.
Right.
And maybe
absolutely.
We all get it done. You know?
Again, really quick, we're not figuring out Golden Boy. I mean, there's a lot of promoters that have made not this mistake just once, but numerous times. But it's hitting that point where, hey, you know what? Somebody's got to make a stand for the boxing fans and for the money and value that's being dished out for these particular fights here. And you know, Golden Boy, I think, have reached to the point where they've understand where we're coming from. They were not upset. Gabriel would attest to that. They later said, okay, you know what, you're absolutely right. These are things that are particularly done. Promoters are going to do whatever they need to do to put butts in the seats of whatever event or function that they're doing. It's not their fault. It's the guys that are behind the scenes, the guys that regulate the sport. It's the guys that make the final decisions that play God for the sport of boxing that are supposed to be protecting the health of particular fighters here. Now, I want to move away from this because we got to end the show early. And the reason being is because I don't know if you guys, I know a lot of you guys know this, but today is my birthday. I got family members walking up, supposed to take me out to dinner. So I just wanted to make sure that we did the show for a good amount of time so people can call in and we could talk about what's going to be happening this Saturday night. You know, Gabe's going to be coming down to San Francisco to watch the fight myself. I'm going to be home barbecuing and doing what I got to do to watch the fight. Are we telling you to shy away from the fight? No. Why? Because the fact is we're boxing heads, and regardless of what you feel and what you think about a particular fighter, you got to support the sport. Negative or positive, you got to do what you got to do. That's the whole point. That's the whole point of being a boxing head. Congratulations to the winners. Miguel Rios and Mr. Lopez. I can't remember your first name, man. I don't have it in front of me. Unfortunately, that want tickets to Solo Boxeo at Fantasy Springs. We're going to continue giving away tickets. I think we may have some tickets for next week's fight. I'm not really sure. Get back to me. The Apple application that we have talked about for leaving the ring, we are almost in the brink of releasing it. We just got a little bit of other things to touch, you know, touch up for it, so that if you have an iPhone, you can obviously be able to log on, and it's going to have a lot of good features on that iPhone. I'm really excited about it. I know Gabe's excited about it. I know a lot of you guys are excited about it as well, because you've been emailing me wanting and waiting for that application for the iPhone, because it would be the first boxing radio show to have that. And we weren't looking to be the first one. We were just looking to try to market and try to get the show out there, because in no way, no how do we think that we are the number one or better than any of the radio shows that are out there, because we think, Gabe, right, a lot of the guys that are doing what they got to do, website, radio, and writing, they do a fantastic job. That's what it's all about, is to push and promote the sport of boxing. Once again, everybody, thank you, man, for telling me and celebrating Cinco de Mayo, my birthday, with me and giving me good wishes. Hey, man, it's always good to see boxing heads to tell me happy birthday and that follow and support leaving the ring. It's a lot of love, man, and it's very touching, and I can't even say more. I wouldn't be here doing my thing if it wasn't for the people that tune in to listen to the ring, leaving the ring, and the people that put in a lot of work for leaving the ring. I don't do a whole lot. I just sit back and watch everybody else do everything. So when you guys come in me and say, hey, man, Dave, you're doing a great job, don't tell me I'm doing a great job because I don't do shit.
Well, let me hit the I think actually Henry Ramirez is calling in very soon. So while we wait for Henry to get through, if he can, before we call a close to tonight's show, because I know, Dave, you need to get drinking, and I need some margaritas, perhaps some cerveza.
I need to be drinking. I think I've been drinking enough.
Yeah.
I've already been pounding, man, since early in the morning. I'm playing some rancheros and some oldies but goodies. Since early in the morning and stuff.
Let me hit the TV schedule while we wait for Mr. Henry, who just texted me, to call in. I think maybe he was listening to what you were saying, Dave, so you're on your own. At the Mandalay Bay on Friday night in Las Vegas, Nevada, on ESPN Friday Night Fights, we have Diego Magdaleno, 18-0, versus Gilbert Leone, 31-8-2. On the undercard, Bernie B. Concepcion, fresh off his first-round knockout loss to 28 to Juan Manuel Marquez. Not Marquez, Lopez, same guy. Bernie B. Concepcion, 28-4-1, versus Juan Martinez, 18-12-1. Then underneath that, Abraham Han, 12-0, versus Terrence Washington, 14-14. At the Fantasy Springs Casino in Indio, California, Labrado Andrade on Telepictura will take on Aaron Pryor Jr. That's 29-3 versus 15-3. Also in support of that, Enrico Arnelis, 30-7 versus Hector Hernandez, 10-3-2. And then the aforementioned Deontay Wilder, as well as Randy Caballero, will be in support on that card. Then we move over to Saturday night at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, Nevada, on Showtime pay-per-view. Manny Pacquiao, 52-3-2, a lot of fights, versus Shane Mosley, 46-6-1. In support of that is Wilfredo Vasquez Jr., 20-0-1, versus Jorge Arce, 56-6-2. That's for the WBO junior featherweight belt. In support of that is Kelly Pavlik, 36-2 versus Alfonso.
That's another fight I'm looking forward to.
That's a fight I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to that fight with Alfonso Lopez to see what he's going to do with Kelly Pavlik. And I know a lot of people taking shots about Kelly being on alcohol struggle that he has had. And whether or not he's going to be ready for this, he's fighting a really big kid. You know what I mean? This is a pretty big kid that he's going to be facing. I can't remember if he's undefeated, right, Gabe? If I remember correctly, he's undefeated. And he's a guy that's fought at 175. So, and 6'2". So he's a big Mexican kid out of Texas who he's going to be up against to see whether or not, do we still have the running of the ghost? Or is it the ending of the ghost, and we may possibly have a new name by the name of Antonio Lopez? Now, is Antonio Lopez there for a guy to be an opponent and get a payday, or is he a guy that possibly Golden Boy may be looking into and saying, hey, you know what, we might invest some money here if he is able to get past Kelly Pavlik because they don't know exactly where to go with him anymore. It's hard to say because so much money has been put in to Kelly Pavlik.
Yeah, I think, I trust their matchmaking. They make mistakes. They did, with Salido fight, although they knew that was going to be a tough fight. It was kind of on Lopez to come in better shape. But, I think there's a reason, experience level. We talked to the kid, about a month back, and, his last fight he was in a closet before the fight, getting ready. This fight, he's going to be at the MGM Grand, and their facilities. It's going to be a huge event. He's going to be live on pay-per-view for the first time. I don't even know if he's been on TV before, much less a big pay-per-view like this. So it's going to be interesting. Pavlik's going to probably have some fans there, certainly people who know who he is, whereas Alfonso Lopez might have his team and a couple family members. So it's going to be a big moment for the guy, and he's got a lot to overcome, not to mention Kelly Pavlik. So be an interesting fight. Underneath that, Mike Alvarado, 29-0, versus Ray Knarr, 25-1. Also on that undercard, Rodel Mayel, I think in a six-round bout against Javier Gallo. Pierre Cote, 14-0, versus R.S. Ambrose, 15-1-1. And Jose Benavides, who's one of the top prospects in the sport, a guy that I think is going to be something real special. I know it's a little early. He's 10-0. He's facing James No Hope of Winning This Fight, Hope, who's 6-7-1. Also around the world at the Jahn Sport Forum in Germany, Sebastian Sylvester, 34-3-1, versus Daniel Giel, 24-1. Should be an interesting fight. It's pretty evenly matched. I mean, Giel is a contender. I'm not sure how much chance he's got of winning this. Maybe 60-40, considering it's in Germany. Sebastian Sylvester, hard to beat him there. But an interesting fight. Its support there is Carl Marat versus Otis Griffin. I don't know if you can catch a stream. That should be fun. At the Prefectural Gymnasium in Osaka, Japan, we have Koki Kameda, 24-1, taking on Daniel Diaz, 18-2. And that's for the WBA bantamweight belt. In support, his brother, Tomaki Kameda, 18-0, versus Nathan Balsillo, 10-2-1. I'm not sure which way this is a mismatch. In Copenhagen, Denmark, Vander Holyfield, 43-10, with two draws versus Brian Nielsen, 64-2. Nope.
I don't even want to get into that one there.
Just kind of blank and hope you miss it. That's going to be brutal. That's almost a whole other issue of when do you retire a fighter? When do you tell him, you know what, man? It's over. The dream is over. You're not going to win. You're not going to, get a top level tie. You're never going to unify the titles.
Do what Lights Out Leary does. He makes appearances. He signs autographed gloves. There's got to be some truth to that there. Hey, Gabe, unfortunately, I got to end it. I have too many people here that have showed up with Henry. Once again, man, I always appreciate everybody and that tunes in and listens to Leaving the Ring. We will be back next week. If not, you know what? If the fight card is good enough, I'm willing to come on Saturday night if Gabe is. To do a aftermath show here on the, I know it's been a while since we've done that, but if it's that good of a card, we got something to talk about. I'm willing to do it.
We'll talk about it off the air. It's very possible. We could do a quick wrap up. I'm going to be kind of the guest of honor at a party.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
I'm not quite sure how available I'm going to be. I might be had a few drinks in me. I might, might be a little busy at this fight party.
I know I'm going to have a few drinks in me here. So, but anyways, anyways, everybody, happy Cinco de Mayo. Enjoy yourself. Please do not drink and drive. If you're going heading out to Las Vegas, be careful. Make sure you have all your money, your wallet with you in your front pocket. Don't put it behind your back pocket. There's pocket pickers, everything else. Have a good time. Enjoy the fights. And talk to you guys either, like I said, if it's a good fight, we'll talk to you on Saturday night. If not, next week, Thursday, we'll be back, full effect, have guests. This week, we just wanted to have a little short little break and talk boxing and get off as quick as we can. Again, thank you again for supporting Leaving the Ring. Please send any questions or anything you want to talk about to leavingthering@gmail.com. Check out the website at leavingthering.com for articles or whatnot. And until next week, you guys have a good night.
I'll see you next week. Enjoy the fights.
All right, brother.